Imagine for a moment that your life's work is over and you're waiting your turn to stand before the Lord, where He will examine your life and your service to Him. You hear Him say to the person in front of you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then you're next. You now stand before Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You cannot help but notice His hands, their very scarred hands, which reminds you that He died, crucified for you. He loved you very much, that He gave His all for you. And now it's time for Him to examine what you have done for Him. He scans your service records over all the years that you lived. With His penetrating eyes, He looked for any souls, if there is any that have been saved because of your life and witnessing. He looked very determined if there were any Christians who grew in their faith or were blessed by your service to Him. Now He is ready to announce your reward. There is a pause, and then the announcement is made. How would you feel if the scene I just described took place and you were standing before the Lord? Would you be apprehensive about what Jesus would say? All of us will stand before Jesus Christ someday. That's reality. And we need to know what to do in order to have a good outcome on that day of judgment. If you are a Christian, you don't have to worry. You will not be judged regarding your salvation, for that has been bought by the blood of Christ in the cross. But you will be judged regarding your service. So we want to remind ourselves why we should be served, why we should serve the Lord faithfully. Simply put, Jesus offers to us eternal reward. The reward of this life are so temporary, we don't like that. But the reward that Jesus offers is eternal. Therefore, we want to know what we must do to receive that reward. Our lesson for tonight is about servanthood, the way to a blessed life. The text that was assigned to me, we will find it in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 20. It tells that in this chapter that blessed life does not come from doing or getting, but from being. And the emphasis is on godly character. It's also found in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 15 to 17. It relates to being a servant of God. And also in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 to 14, it relates to rewards. The lesson for tonight is encapsulated on those text that we have for tonight. The Bible said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by a river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. From the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. According to the scripture we just heard, one who delights in the law of the Lord is blessed. It is his primary focus in life. He meditates on it day and night. It is his source of refreshment and life to him. He becomes like a tree planted by a river, a flowing river, because the word of God makes his life fruitful and productive. All in all, he is a Christian who is successfully blessed. And so we ask ourselves, what makes us successful in God's kingdom? In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, 25 to 26, the Bible tells us that Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you." What is the Lord saying here? He's saying that those who have authority look at themselves so highly, so prideful. They put great premium on their own importance. And so they lord it over people. They look down to other people. In other words, just because they think they are very important people, they believe they have the right to tell people what to do. But the Lord is saying, this is not going to be what makes you great. That greatness in the kingdom of God is never to be found in possession of power or in the praises and opinion of other people, but in servant-like service to others. The Lord showed us how to serve by the example of the life that he lived when he was with us. Thus he said, "Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant." Verses 27. Just like the Son of Man did not come to be ministered, but to minister and be a ransom for many. Verse 28. What does it mean to minister? We hear that all the time. To minister means to serve. Well, you say it means to preach. Well, that's one way of serving, but that's just one way. The word minister means to serve. It means that you, if you are a Christian, you are a minister. And when you are a minister, you are indeed serving. But to become a good minister, we must face the reality that we are not that good. That no one is good, not even one. Romans 3:11. None of us, in our own limited power, has the ability to give ourselves sacrificially as a servant. Let me repeat that. None of us has the ability to give ourselves sacrificially as a servant, according to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must pray, indeed we must, that the Holy Spirit may forgive us the strength that comes from our learning, from our living, and from our growing in the Word of God if we truly are Christians. It is only through the life of the Holy Spirit in your heart who can give us the ability to give ourselves. Only God can make you do that, not you. A servant is one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And so when the Bible said the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many, what's really saying is that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for man. In other words, the scripture is telling us that in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. That the way to success in the kingdom of God is to be a servant. For whoever wishes to save his life, the Bible said, shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16:25. In that scripture, my brother and sister, Jesus taught us that in order to save our lives, we must lose it in service to others. True blessings comes in serving others. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So to live as a servant begins by following the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible that we read all the time uniquely characterizes our Lord as a servant. Even now, although the Lord is in heaven, he continues to minister to us, serving as the head of the Church of Christ. Servanthood must be the distinguishing mark of a Christian. It must be. Our Lord came to this earth to serve mankind, to demonstrate how to live a supernatural life. And even though he worked great miracles like raising the dead, healing the sick, and setting the prisoners free, he had no problem washing the feet of his disciples. It is by his action that he demonstrated what it meant to have the heart of a servant. And when the Lord said, I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash his other feet. John 13:14. God is saying he wants you and I to cultivate a servant heart as well. A heart that is humble, obedient, and most of all, loving. It is with a servant heart that will lead us to genuine growth in this experience we call Christianity. Without a servant heart, that means you're not obedient. You haven't surrendered your life. It is only through having a servant heart that will lead us to genuine growth in our selfless servant living. In the Bible, it says, whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Mark 10:43. The world as we know it that defines greatness in terms of power, in terms of wealth, prestige, and position in life. They say that if you can demand service from others, you have arrived. In our me-first culture, acting like a servant is not a popular thing to do. It's not a popular thing to do. Some people even say that being a servant means being a doormat. The Lord, however, measured greatness in terms of service, not status. God is the only one who determines your greatness by how many people you serve, not how many people serving you. I go to bookstores all the time. I love to read. And I notice that thousands of books have been written on leadership, but very, very few on servanthood. It seems like everybody wants to lead. No one wants to be a servant. Everybody wants to be generals. Rarely you'd find one who is satisfied to be just a private. Even Christians want to be servant leaders, not just plain servant, but to be like Jesus is to be a servant. To be like Jesus is to be a servant. We must emphasize that. Jesus, our Lord, the Bible said, is a servant. Philippians 2:7. That is what the Lord called himself. It is only through being a servant that greatness in the kingdom of God is determined. Only through being a servant. For the Bible said, greatest among you shall be your servant. Matthew 23:11. Jesus our Lord was a servant. Philippians 2:7. He came to the earth to serve, not to be served. With Jesus as our example, we should aspire to develop a servant heart. And so we ask, what is a servant heart? A servant heart is not selfish or self-absorbed. He or she is deeply concerned with serving others and the kingdom of God more than they are with serving themselves. A true servant is someone who makes himself or herself available to God, even if it means he or she is inconvenienced. We must always look as a Christians to look for opportunities to serve someone else. And so we ask ourselves what we can do for others. It's the question we should always be asking rather than what others can do for us. All through the scriptures, we are encouraged as believers to serve others. We cannot deny that. Whenever you open up the Bible, it's always there that you have to serve people. You have to serve because that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's the life of a Christian. And so it's always encouraged that as believers, we have to serve others. Why is that so? Why is that so important? Perhaps because we need to learn to have the Christ-like attitude of love and compassion and humility toward those around us. At the same time, as we care for those around us, we are in turn assisting God in His work. There are two things that are critically important that we need to have to develop a servant heart. Love is most important. Love is the nature of God. And it is that nature of God in your heart, undeniably, that drives you to want to live like Christ. Without the love of God in all things that you are and do, everything that you do will be for nothing. Only when you walk in love, and only when your purpose to serve others is love, that you demonstrate the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has empowered us to serve others in the same capacity as Jesus did, with love. We must always pay attention to others' need and make ourselves available by putting God above our schedules and allow Him to use us to be a blessing to others. The Bible exhorts the Christian, saying, don't merely look for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. You must have the attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Christian love means putting others, people, first, regardless of what it costs us, even when we are called to play second fiddle. Your attitude is just as important, if not more important than your acts of service themselves. Serving God requires a change in attitude and a shift of focus from myself to someone else. But you know what? This is a popular problem among Christians. No one wants to be known as a servant. No one wants that. Because it seems to, what's the word? It seems to connote the idea of being lowly. Perhaps even badly treated and with not much reward. To shift our focus from ourselves to someone else also demands to turn our backs on our ego and pride. And so it challenges the old man. It challenges the flesh. But if you let it be and learn from it, it will develop a Christian character if you have a servant heart. The real test, if we are truly maturing and growing to become like Christ, is how we react when people treat us like one. I've been a Christian for over 20 years, still young. I don't know much of anything. I'm trying hard to learn. And some of the things that I notice in the different congregation that I have attended, many people think that they are serving God because they do a good deed every now and then. But if you are serving with the wrong attitude or motive, you are merely going through the motions. To really follow the Lord, we must seek to serve others. If we are not serving others from pure motives, then we are not following the Lord. Christ told his disciples, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Mark 10:45. And in another place he said, I am among you as one who served. The book of Luke 22:27. Therefore I exhort you, brothers, the Bible said, and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be transformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1. So let us be warned that when we serve others, it must not be by way of eye service, as man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6:6. It takes more than just actions to be considered a servant of God. A servant has great attitude and serve the Lord with joy. Psalm 2:11. Without a servant heart, people tend to simply sit back without joy in their worship with God, while expecting others to serve them. Their attitude is, well, we're here to be ministered to, rather than be equipped for ministry. It is possible to serve in church for a whole lifetime without ever being a servant. You must have a servant heart. There is no passage in the Bible that illustrates the source and the nature of the heart of a servant more than the book of John, the 13th chapter. The night before our Lord died, Jesus dramatically drove home the issue and the nature of what it meant to be a servant. Just imagine for a moment how it was that night. Would you do that? Everything is set for the Last Supper together, except for one thing. According to the custom of the day, a servant with a basin of water would wash the feet of the guests who had walked the dusty road of Palestine. But who would take the position of a servant? Who? That was the question at that very moment. I can just see the disciples looking around, expecting someone else to do this job, but never for a moment considering it himself. Then out of the blue, as a perfect lesson of how to be a servant, the Lord Jesus Christ rose and put water in a basin. And with the greatest humility from a servant's most humbled heart, began washing the feet of the disciples. And then, this is what he said. And I quote, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. For I have given you an example. You should do just as I have done for you. I tell you the solemn truth. The slave is no greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent as a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Unquote. That's from the book of Romans, chapter 13, 13 to 17. He said, if you understand this, to put it simply, it says, if you understand this principle, you will be blessed if you do them. The Lord is saying that the way to a blessed life is to be a servant. That is undeniable. And so we ask, how can you know if you have the heart of a servant? How can we know that? Jesus answered, "You can tell what they are by what they do." Matthew 7, 20. A servant heart is revealed in the little things a Christian does. He is true to the word of God and serves him first and foremost by being obedient to his word. The scripture says he meditates on it day and night. It is his primary focus in life. The word of God is the main source of his refreshment and joy. Listen to that. It's the source of his refreshment and joy. It's just like saying that's his whole life. His He is one who learned to live by faith as a servant out of a faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The scripture also likened him to a tree planted by the river of water that bears fruit, because the word of God makes his life fruitful and productive. The scripture then ended by saying, whatever he does, he shall prosper. That means that his experience with Jesus Christ is an abundance of blessings in his lifetime. And it also gives meaning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 26, that a servant's good works will shine before others and will give glory to the Father who is in heaven. As a Christian, we are called to live by faith. And in this faith, we are called to be a servant to others. Being a servant means that instead of looking inwardly toward ourselves and just looking for what we can get, we must maintain to look outwardly toward others so that the people we are exposed to in the world can feel the love of God by the way we serve, to make them feel comfortable joyful, peaceful, and happy. That's what a Christian does. To be a servant is to be a blessing to others. To be a servant is a life-affirming person. A person who left heavy weights off of people's shoulder to lighten their steps. Someone who builds others up in faith. Do we do that in our life out there? To build people up in their thoughts. To think godly instead of worldly. To build people up in their deeds. To do kind things to other people instead of being hurtful to other people. The promise of the Lord to the servants are abundant. We know that by reading the Bible, and undeniable. For the Bible said, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. That's from Proverbs 11, 25 to 26. But aside from all the blessing a Christian enjoys in his lifetime, the most profound of all is when the grace of God transformed the tragic fact of a servant's death into unspeakable blessing. That in the very moment of his physical death, his passage to eternity with God for the enjoyment of eternal life is guaranteed. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23, where the soul is at home with God. Well done is what we hope to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's indeed a blessed assurance to those who remain faithful in their service to the end. It's been a blessing for me to have been assigned to do this topic, and I was so thankful. And it gives me a lot of perspective as far as my Christian life is concerned. And I hope also that this does the same thing to you. And if you have a question, and if you're not a Christian and would like to be a Christian, come on forward. If you would like the congregation to pray for you, why won't you come forward here and we will pray for you as we stand and sing.